Welcome to the South Cars Outreach Program. Join our training session in progress.
Good evening. It's now Sunday, August the 7th, and here we go with Welcome to the Outreach Program, sponsored by the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This program has been established to help those wishing to learn more about our hobby and to further assist those wishing to upgrade license status. This will be an in-depth course pertaining to what one should know when studying for an extra class license. This course will be conducted with two sessions weekly, which will be at 7 p.m. Eastern, 2300 Zulu, each Tuesday, and again, 7 p.m. Eastern, 2300 Zulu, each Sunday evening. For those that are already licensed and wish either a refresher course or would just like to listen, please connect to our SCARS, that's S-C-A-R-S, server at either EchoLink node number 96140 or IRLP node 9614. Letting it drop. For those who are interested, please contact myself, Mike, Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec, via email at voip@voipnet.southcars.com, I'll be repeating that a little later, to enroll in the class and be given directions as to the study material required and the manner you will be connected into the course. The material being presented is formatted from data obtained from the ARRL and is simply being forwarded in a presentation format by SCARS. Should anyone take issue to some of the technical statements made, and in keeping with not interrupting the class and session, please convey your comments or suggestions to the outreach program at voip@voipnet.southcars.com. It should be mentioned this course covers only the requirements pertaining to the United States Part 97 rules and does not include other requirements that may be found in foreign countries. Should any other country other than the United States wish to have their own licensing session on this server, please drop us an email. voip@voipnet.southcars.com. Letting it drop. The session this evening will be recorded and posted at our website, www.voip.southcars.com. That's SOUTHCARS.com. Okay, please note that all of our class members and instructors, it is extremely important that we all stay on the same page during these classes. By that I mean the only question pool and copy thereof that should be used when participating in this class should be the one posted on our website. Publications from other sources may or may not be current and should not be used during our sessions. Do we have any emergency or out of the ordinary business that must be handled before we start this evening's program? Okay, at this point, we will begin, and our instructors tonight, we have the duo of Rebecca, who is KV4QX, and James, KV4QY, both in Franklin, Georgia. They will be the instructors this evening, and in the text box, I will note the question number in case you don't hear it clearly, so we'll kind of stay together on that. Okay, Rebecca will be starting up the program. I'll let it drop, and come on in, Rebecca. It's all yours. Over to you.
Well, thank you, Mike. And I know clarity was an issue in the past, and hopefully that is much better now following the placement. Well, let's just say the 2000 is, right now, is gone. And it doesn't look too pretty from here. So anyway, we had to find some other means of communication. Well, anyway, we are here, and I'm glad to have everybody with us that has decided to join us this evening. Now, the registered students, I'm sure have already received their email. It has been sent out not only for tonight, but for Tuesday night's class also. There's a vast number of references there for for you to use at your discretion. And if you did not receive an email and want one, please let us know. I'll be glad to get you one, whether you are registered for the class or not. All right. Break here, and then we will get started with our questions. This is Rebecca, KV4QX. All right. I did mention the reference material, and with that, any quotes or statements that were taken from those websites, the websites are noted just immediately following the statement. And for anyone who wants to know the source of any comments we make tonight, I'll be glad to get you an email out with each of those sources. All right. Tonight we're starting off with Echo 7, Echo. And the section is modulation and demodulation, reactants, phase and balance modulators, detectors, and mixer stages. One of the suggestions that we received from the students requested a review on the subject matter contained in this section. And so we're going to try that with this entire class and see how that does. Now for Tuesday's night, I've got it mixed up a little bit, doing some of what we were doing in some of the section comments. So anyway, with the modulation, demodulation, reactants, phase and balance modulators, detectors, and mixer stages. Modulation is the process of impinging useful information on the carrier, while demodulation is the recovery of original information from the carrier at the distant end, near the destination user. Equipment that does both modulation and demodulation is called a modem. Modulation and demodulation processes mainly aim to achieve transfer of information with minimum distortion or corruption, minimum loss to the carrier signal, and efficient use of the spectrum. Even though there are a number of methods or schemes for modulation and demodulation processes, they have their own advantages and disadvantages as well. For an example, AM is used in shortwave and medium wave radio broadcasting. FM is used in very high frequency or VHF radio broadcasting. And PM is popular with the digital signal modulation. Now, both modulation and demodulation processes are equally important to transfer an information signal in a given channel using a carrier signal. Therefore, the modulation method we use at the transmitter must be exactly compatible with the demodulation method at the receiver end to achieve proper transfer of information from one location to another. And when a microphone is spoken into, the audio is amplified and sent to the balance modulator. When the balance modulator receives the audio information, it upsets the balance of the modulator and allows audio to be coupled into the next stage, where a second IF or intermediate frequency now allowed to couple into other stages and pass on through other IF stages when it finally reaches the transmit and is sent out. A more detailed circuits of this configuration is available from other sources there. And what's that dim? I missed that. Oh, okay. Okay, sorry about that. Anyway, intermediate frequency stages couple both receive and transmit info. Then we have the mixer spurious products, and they exist due to nonlinear characteristics of diodes used in mixer construction, mathematically resulting in the sum and difference of integer value harmonics of input and low frequencies. Theoretically, the harmonics run to infinity in a simple diode mixer. However, in practice, harmonics greater than ninth order often generate spur products that are below the noise floor and can be ignored. All right, we'll break and we'll go move over to our questions for this section. This is Rebecca, KD4QX. All right, the first question is Echo 7, Echo 0, 4. What is one way a single sideband phone signal can be generated? And the correct answer is by using a balanced modulator followed by a filter. All right, do we have any comments or questions over anything that we've gone over so far? Okay. The next question. Echo 7, Echo 08. What are the principal frequencies that appear at the output of a mixer circuit? The two input frequencies, along with their sum and different frequencies, is the correct answer to that one. Any comments or questions on this one?
Rebecca, 6 Victor, try and hug that microphone a little closer if you would. It'll help. Over.
All right. Yeah, message received. This difference in signal is what we're concerned with for single sideband. And it's important that what remains when it's gone is nothing. In other words, on a sideband transmitter, once you cease to modulate or to put in audio, the carrier level should drop to nothing. If it doesn't, then you're not in true sideband. You have some AM products that you don't want. And of course that can be tuned out if it's there. But it is important that you watch every now and then and just see to it that the system is in perfect balance, because if it's not, there will be a carrier, and you don't want it in single sideband operation. So it's important to watch that, keep it balanced, and you don't have big problems with the modern equipment, but we ain't all got modern equipment. So it's important that the balance is equal, and so that you don't carry her out and therefore have single sideband. Actually, I should say sideband, because you could be running double sideband. But anyway, you want to get that carrier where at rest it doesn't have any carrier at all. Now then, let's go back over to Miss Becky.
All right. Thank you, Jim. And our next question is, what occurs when an excessive amount of signal energy reaches a mixer circuit? And our correct answer is spurious mixer products are generated. All right, any comments or questions with that one before we go on to the next section? All right, our next section is Echo 7F, DSP filtering and other operations, software-defined radio, fundamentals, DSP modulation and demodulation. All right, looking up a lot of these, I kept running into sites full of math. And any math-related questions that you run into, I recommend memorizing answers, or the math answers, and learn the math in your leisure time according to your interest level. So some of us are just not interested in learning it, and others are very interested in it. And in case you are, there is a math tutorial resource listed in your reference material. Anyway, software-defined radio consists of a personal computer of some sort, which includes a sound card, analog to a digital converter, a general-purpose processor for signal processing, and the radio, the transmission and reception is based on the software used. For selecting a particular modulation, a proper program must run in the microcontroller, which controls the transmitter and receiver. In this, some or all the physical layer is software defined, and this software is used to determine all of the specifications of radio. It also determines what it does. If any changes occur in the software, the performance of radio also gets changed. The software provides functions such as modulation, demodulation, filtering, frequency selections, etc. Wireless system protocols are different in each country. The single software-defined radio that can be used anywhere in the world by simply selecting and changing the computer program, the service type, the modulation protocol, etc. That can be changed. And so before portable operation is completed, I make sure that your battery is fully charged so it'll be more effective there. All right, I'm going to break that and then we'll go to questions. All right, and this is Rebecca, KV4QX. We're starting with Echo 7F05. How frequently must an analog signal be sampled by an analog-to-digital converter so that the signal can be accurately reproduced? And our correct answer is at twice the rate of the highest frequency component of the signal. All right, let's see if we have any comments or questions on this one. All right, then we have Echo 7F. E7F10. What aspect of receiver analog to digital conversion determines the maximum received bandwidth of a direct digital conversion SDR? And our correct answer is sample rate. Let's see if we have any comments or questions.
This is KD0CDQ. Rebecca, I think you may have to increase your volume a little bit. N2CHI is having difficulty hearing you. Over.
Hi, Rebecca. This is N2CHI. It just sounds as if you're backing away from the mic. Maybe that's the only problem.
All right. Thank you, guys. Let's see if this works any better. I'll change the angle here.
That is terrific. Thank you.
You are welcome, and I appreciate you letting me know. As we said before, we are getting accustomed to something different, and we reached back into retired equipment and put this one together, and we have a piece of a microphone headset that we are using here, so it gets pretty interesting finding the exact angle for each one of us. So, yes, your input is appreciated. Thank you very much. Okay, back to our questions. Let's see where we left off here. All right. Echo 7 F14 East 7 F14. Which of the following would allow a digital signal processing filter to create a sharper filter response? And our correct answer is more taps. And let's see if we have any comments or questions after this one.
N2CHI with a query.
Go ahead, please. Oh.
Yeah, this is N2CHI. I can't find my button here. I was just wondering what taps are. I'm not familiar with this area of this stuff. Thank you.
Six, Victor, Rebecca.
Go ahead, Gordon.
Yeah, I don't know if Jim was going to want to handle that one or not, but hi, Dave. Gordon here, KY6V. You take a coil, and what you do is you tap down to different levels of the coil, different winding points. And a lot of these filters, if you think about the filter as an LC network, okay, you've got a capacitor and an inductor. And what you do, you can change the Q, sharpen it or loosen it up, depending on where you tap on the coil. And a lot of these commercially sold digital control boxes do exactly that. They give you a big knob in the front of the thing, and all that knob is doing is it's a big rotatable switch, and it switches taps on the coil as you click it from one position to another. Does that make sense to you, Dave? Over.
Yeah, I can see if you change the inductance and therefore the inductive reactance, you're going to change the Q of the coil, or at least the portion of it that you're using. Is this in a reactance modulator scheme that I've only read about and I'm not familiar with? Go ahead, Gordon.
Well, I had stepped away. I'm not sure exactly what question you were on, Rebecca, but Dave, to answer your question, it's used quite a bit in digital work, but I will give you another example. As long as you've been around, I'm sure you've used antenna tuners, and you'll know the antenna tuners normally have taps on the large inductor coil change the reactance, working with a capacitor, of course, to tune your antenna. It's the same type principle, David. Over.
Yeah, I think that's understandable. For now, I've got to dig a little deeper into it, but I'll do that. Thanks, Gordon. Appreciate it. Thank you, Rebecca.
Well, you are so welcome, and thank you, Gordon. And I appreciate you stepping in with that. And Jim, thank you also. All right, and our next section is Echo 7G, active filters and op-amp circuits, active audio filters, characteristics, basic circuit design, and operational amplifiers. As their name implies, active filters contain active components such as operational amplifiers, transistors, or FETs within their circuit design. They draw their power from an external power source and use it to boost or amplify the output signal. Filter amplification can also be used to either shape or alter the frequency response of the filter circuit by producing a more selective output response, making the output bandwidth of the filter more narrow or even wider. Then, the main difference between a passive filter and an active filter is amplification. Op-amps are extremely versatile and have become the amplifier of choice for very many applications. The advantages of integration also allow op-amps to be included in many application-specific integrated circuits, or ASICs, where combined with other circuit elements, a chip can be designed to carry out a specific function, which, for example, can vary from a dedicated tone control or a programmable filter network to a complete audio or communication system. And the questions we have in this section are, what is the typical output impedance of an integrated circuit op-amp? And our correct answer is very low. Let's see if we have any comments or questions on this one before we move on to our next question. Yeah, I see where it threw you off. Okay, our next question is Echo 7G05. How an unwanted ringing and audio instability, I'll start that one over. How can unwanted ringing and audio instability be prevented in a multi-section op-amp RC audio filter circuit? And our correct answer is restrict both gain and Q. Do you have any comments or questions on there? Okay. And we go with Echo 7H. Oscillators and signal sources. Types of oscillators. Synthesizers and phase lock loops. Direct digital synthesizers. Stabilizing thermal drift. Microphonics. High accuracy oscillators. And that'll take care of that list of them. And this is KB4QX, and break and we'll get this one. Okay. Oscillator circuits are one of the basic building blocks of amateur radio equipment. Oscillator circuits are not only used to generate the signals we transmit, they are also an integral part of receivers, such as the superheterodyne receiver. And you can think of an oscillator as an amplifier with a tuned circuit at the input. And this tuned circuit might be an LC circuit or a crystal. The values of the components in the tuned circuit determine the output frequency of the oscillator. And then we'll move on over to our questions. Our next question is Echo 7H03. How is positive feedback supplied in a Hartley oscillator? And our correct answer is through a neutralizing capacitor. And Gordon and I were talking earlier, and his recommendation is just memorize this and these next ones that we're going over. So how is positive feedback supplied in a Hartley oscillator? And the correct answer is through a neutralizing capacitor. Any comments or questions here? Okay. And we'll go ahead and get these next two and see if we have any comments or questions there. Echo 7805. How is positive feedback supplied in a Pierce oscillator? And the correct answer is through a quartz crystal. And Echo 7806. Which of the following oscillator circuits are commonly used in VFOs? And the correct answer is Colpitts and Hartley. All right, we'll see if you have any comments or on this section of questions. This is Rebecca, KV4QX.
6, Victor.
2CHI with a question.
All right, Dave, go ahead and we'll see if we can find somebody that can help answer it.
This is an easy question. Am I confused? I believe the answer for, I'm looking in a couple of sources here, the positive feedback supplied in a Hartley oscillator should be A through a tap coil, and in a Colpitts should be C through a capacitive divider, and E7 Henry 05 from a Pierce oscillator, or in a Pierce oscillator, should be D through a through a quartz crystal. Is that what you have, Rebecca, or do I have differently? Over.
All right. Well, I am going to go back over to my original copy of the questions, and we'll see if I wrote something down incorrectly. So let's go check on that right quick. We're looking at Echo 7-8, and let's see what we get. Echo 6, Echo 8, Echo 9, Echo 8, B, C, A, Echo 8, Echo 7, 8, and I want numbers 3, 5, 6, let's go on up to there, and we'll start with, all right, Echo 7, 8, 0, 3, How is positive feedback supplied in a Hartley oscillator? And the answer on this source, and this is 2016 to 2020 extra class question 2. Yes, it's the one from SCARS. The correct answer is A, through a tapped coil. Now let's see if we wrote that one correct. All right, Echo 7804, the correct answer is C. Our question is, how is positive feedback supplied in a Colpitts oscillator? And our correct answer is through a capacitive divider. And D, number 5, which we had not read the other one. We'll just go through this whole section right quick and be sure we have it correct. How is positive feedback supplied in a Pierce oscillator? The correct answer is D, and that is through a quartz crystal. And that one we had correctly. And this next one is number 6. Echo 7806, our correct answer is letter B. Which of the following oscillator circuits are commonly used in VFOs? And the correct answer we said was B, and that is Colpitts and Hartley. All right, now are we both on the same page at this point in time?
Yes, I apologize. I must have misheard you. This is N2CHI. Back to you, Rebecca.
Well, I thank you, but I think that there's some things that I read that I'm going like, I don't remember reading that while ago. So I think you may have misunderstood some, and I may have misspoken some. And for the errors I made, I apologize. And I thank you for picking up on it, and I appreciate you questioning. But we do want to have it as correct as we possibly can, and I thank you for that. Our last question for the evening that we have here is Echo 7H15, and I'm going to go over to the original copy of the question, and be just in case I have miswritten it over there, and I'm going to go back and see exactly what I have written for those others. Echo 7H15. Our correct answer is the letter D. The question is, which of these functions can be performed by a phase-locked loop? Which of these functions can be performed by a phase-locked loop? And the correct answer is frequency synthesis and FM demodulation. All right. Let's see if we have any comments or questions at this point in time. This is Rebecca, KB4QX.
This is KD0CDQ, Mike here. I must agree with Gordon that I did a lot of memorization. I tried to find pictures and documentation, as I recall, when I went for my extra exam. But I also tried to link, again, the questions with the answers. And there are clues, not too obvious, but there are clues in the question that can help you with these answers, because those of us who don't work in these oscillators, we it's all mirrors, you know. There's nothing we really understand on that. So do some memorization, as Gordon says, but then look for pictures, look for explanations, so you can have an understanding. As I always say, know what you know and know what you don't know. So if there's something you don't know, you're going to have to do the memorization with the question and the answer. There are links. There are links in the question that you can put with the answer. That's what I found, so that I had no problem once I did the memorization. Anybody else have any comments on these questions that we've been going over? Okay, this is a CDQ again. That can be a very complicated section, because those of us who don't work in these oscillators, we don't know them. So what I did with that word Hartley, in my mind's eye, it was the word Harley. I just did it that way. If I can remember the Harley motorcycle, Harley, and I knew Hartley, that was a link for me. And the coal pits, I had a link in my head for that too. Whatever works for you to get you through these exams, don't hesitate to use your own abilities. Don't doubt yourself. Sometimes we need links, such as taking a word and changing it a bit so that we can have it in our mind's eye. But this is not a simple section, but it's something we can master through memorization. So use the memorization. Good grief. On, you know, on how many exams people memorize, there's no reason that you can't memorize until you come to understand what we're actually talking about. This is KD0CDQ. We're doing the extra questions on the SCARS. I'm looking over here at the clock and see what we're doing. We're doing good on time. Does anybody have any questions on any of the areas that we covered this evening? Please don't hesitate either to say a question. I've got a question or something, but go ahead now, please.
I do have a comment, KB4QI. Oh, okay. We say this every week, and I feel like it's ultra important, and that is, do not memorize the letters. That'll throw you right over on your backside, because I'll tell you, out of your 50 questions, you'll have 51 answers. And every one of them will be something besides what you thought. So remember these answers as far as A, B, and C, D. because they will change. That's guaranteed. So make sure you get those exactly right. That you know what the answer is. All you're trying to do is find out where they put it this time. The word, the question will be 100%. And the answer will be 100% exactly as you studied. But it will not be in the new, the answer will not be in the same order as your study was. So as soon as you get ready to go, just cancel out all the ABCDs, and they'll give you new ABCDs, and everything will be somewhere else. So do that by all means, or we'll be leading you astray, and we don't want to do that. All right, let's see. I'll send it back to Becky in case she's got something.
Okay, thank you, Jim. And, yes, I'll look back over the questions in that section. And I had given you an incorrect answer the first time we went through it on Echo 7-H-03. I was a positive feedback supplied in a Hartley oscillator, and the correct answer is through a tapped coil. And again, I thank y'all for picking up on that so we can get that corrected. All right. Well, I have enjoyed it, and I thank everybody for being here. And we welcome your thoughts and your comments, and thanks again. This is Rebecca and Jim, KV4QX, KV4QY, and we'll turn it back over to you, Mike, and see if there's any other comments or questions. There may just be. This is KV4QX.
Thank you, Rebecca and Jim. This is KD0CDQ Mike here. Yes, every couple of years, the FCC, not the FCC, I won't blame them for this, but the VEC leaders, they redo the question pool. Although over the years, I've seen the same questions over and over again. I think part of it is they just change the order that they're in, but the same questions are there. Maybe they want to sell books. Maybe they want to keep people on their toes. Whatever the thing is, the questions, most of them, there's a few that are new, but most of the questions are repeats from years ago. So you're not really obligated to know new material. You're just obligated to know where the material belongs. I've seen them move it to different chapters, too, in the book. They'll move it to the different sections of the book, but it's the same answer, question. But I have seen a few new ones. I don't know if they're any better, but there's some new questions in there, but very, very few. So rest easy. If you happen to be using an old book, I know that at least one person in our group here is using a past extra exam book. The same questions are in there. They're just in a different place, most of them. I'm going to let it drop. I can't tell you how Rebecca and James, I appreciate that you both went into those questions and you worked them through for us. And I know that you'll be back with us again on Tuesday evening, same time, same station. You'll be back with another group of questions. And the question pool for Tuesday night, if you want to jot this down, if you don't have it listed, we'll be looking again at the Echo section. We'll be in Echo 8. Alpha 01 through Echo 9, Alpha 18. That'll be on Tuesday evening. We only have three more sessions to go, so those of you who have been staying faithful with this, please do the Q&As and you can use QRZ.com or any of the programs that you prefer to use, but get in there and start drilling. Start drilling on these questions. The more you do that, the easier they will become. Just like when you're watching Jeopardy. Some people know the answers to Jeopardy. Other times you're sitting there and have no clue what that answer is about. It's because they happen to have known about it in the past. If something has crossed your path in the past, it'll stick there. So if you make these Q&As, work together for you. That'll be something in the past that'll work for you. You don't have to know. You don't really have to know what the answer means. You just remember, I remember that Q goes with that A. That question and answer goes together. So let's trust your brain. Don't question yourself. Don't question yourself when you're doing these exams, letting it drop. Okay, if we have any other comments, please go now. We still have the recordings going. I'm going to shut them down in a few moments along with Gordon. If you have any questions pertaining to this session or any of the previous sessions, something we could answer quickly for you, please do it now. Otherwise, just email it to us. You can email it to us at www.boip@southcars.com. And if there's something complicated you can't really get straight in your mind's eye, that's Gordon who's going to be doing the answer to you. He'll answer your email. Don't think they'll be overlooked. They will not be overlooked. We'll answer any questions you come across. So if you have something you can do kind of short now, do it. If you want to email a question that's something that's bugging you, do that also. I'll let it drop. Anybody has any comments, please go ahead now. Okay, here in the Midwest, it's 49 minutes to the hour. I guess it's the same where you are. Sometimes off a minute or two. So, Gordon, if you are ready and you would want to shut down your recordings, we'll have a quiet session here if everybody would just stay off the air and let Gordon close. That doesn't mean you have to go away. You can still hang on here and talk to Gordon or talk to Becky or Jim, anybody. We'll still be here. But we're going to cut the recordings off in a moment, so please be quiet. Gordon, are you ready?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mike. All stations stand by, please. KY6V.
This has been the South Cars Outreach Program. Join us again next time for another in our series of training sessions for amateur radio operators. Goodbye for now.